Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Hello there, and welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, and it's Friday. Thank God. Love Fridays. And I especially love Fridays because today we're going to hear the final in our series on what God's Word will do for you. It's a teaching called God's Word, Our Mirror and Our Judge. You know what amazes me about this series we've been in all week, is that you have to remember that Derek Prince was a Cambridge professor. I mean, he's not just a guy who didn't read other books, have other information in his brain. He was essentially the equivalent of a PhD, an American PhD, really beyond an American PhD, at Cambridge University before World War II. Unbelievable. And so he had digested many books in many different languages. But you know what he found? Only the scriptures, only the Bible was spirit and life. And that's what he's teaching us about today, how the Bible, how the Word of God is spirit and life. Now, in this teaching on God's Word, Our Mirror and Our Judge, I think we're going to be hearing some important and transforming things about how we see who we really are in the Word. I don't know about you, but I want to fulfill my destiny, don't you? I want to fulfill that thing I was made to be, that purpose, that mission that I was made for. And by looking in God's Word, I see who I really am. All right, well, let's just get to it. There's so much that's going to happen in this show. I'll tell you more about it later, but let's get to this teaching on God's Word, Our Mirror and Our Judge.
Today I'm going to speak about an aspect of God's Word that is unfamiliar to many people, God's Word as our mirror. In James chapter 1, verses 21 through 25, we read these words about the work of God's Word in us and how we are to receive it. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. So we have to receive the word as something implanted in our souls, which is able to bring us salvation. But then James warns us that we have to act on what the word says. But prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man shall be blessed in what he does. So you see, when God's word comes to us, we have two obligations: to receive it with humility and to act on it, on what it says. And then James uses the example of the mirror. He says that when we read the word of God or when we are confronted with it, it's like a mirror held up in front of our eyes, which shows us what we're really like. It doesn't show us our external experience, but our inward nature and character. Now, I proved this true in my experience many years ago. I was at that time a professor of philosophy at Cambridge University. I felt it my duty to study the Bible as a work of philosophy, not believing in its authority or making any distinction between it and the many other books that I'd read. But gradually, reading the Bible completely changed me. And I want to read a passage to you from my book, Foundation for Faith, in which I describe the change that took place as I studied the Bible. I'm referring now to this passage here in James chapter 1. The mirror of God's Word, as we look into it, reveals not our external physical features, but our inward spiritual nature and condition. It reveals to us those things about ourselves which no material mirror and no work of merely human wisdom can reveal, things which we can never come to know in any other way or through any other means. Someone has summed this up by saying, "Remember that while you are reading your Bible, Your Bible is also reading you. To my own surprise, as I studied the Bible, even though I could not fully understand it, I became conscious that I was being measured by some standard that was not my own, nor that of any human being. Without any special change of outward circumstance, I became inwardly restless and dissatisfied. Pleasures and activities of various kinds which had previously attracted and occupied me lost their power to divert or to entertain. I became increasingly conscious of some deep need within my own being which I could neither define nor satisfy. I did not clearly understand it, but through the mirror of His Word, God was showing me the truth concerning my own inner need and emptiness. After several months, this revelation of my need caused me, even in my spiritual ignorance and blindness, to seek God with humility and sincerity. Finding Him in this way, I discovered that He who had thus revealed my need through His written word was able also to satisfy it completely through the person of His living word, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that was my personal testimony. The Bible served as a mirror in my life to show me things that no human work of wisdom or philosophy or intellectual studies could ever reveal to me. However, bear in mind that a mirror only helps us if we act on what we see. If we look in the mirror and see that our face is dirty, we should go and wash it. If we see that our clothes are in disorder or our hair is in disorder, we should go and make the necessary adjustments. What then are the appropriate responses when the mirror of God's word shows us our inner condition, shows us the things that are wrong, the things that need cleansing or adjusting or setting in order? I suggest to you there are three things we should consider as necessary. First, we receive the revelation. We don't argue with it. We say, that's right, that's how I really am. Secondly, we believe God's promises that always come with His revelations. And thirdly, by faith, we appropriate God's provision. Now, if we will take these three simple steps, then a wonderful change will come in what the mirror will show us, because it will then show us not what we are without Christ and in our sinful condition, but it will show us what we are in Christ. It will show us a wonderful inner transformation that has taken place within us. And we'll begin to see things like this. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. That's what the mirror shows us when we're in Christ. And then a little further on in 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made Him who knew no sin, that's Jesus, to be sin for us, so that in Him, Jesus, we might become the righteousness of God. When we look in the mirror now, we don't see ourselves in our sinful condition, but we see ourselves with the righteousness of God through faith in Christ imputed to us. We can also turn to Isaiah 61:10, where it says, I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God. For He has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. That's what the mirror shows us when we're in Christ. No longer do we see the dirty rags of our own self-righteousness, our own achievements and cleverness and intellectual ability, but we see ourselves clothed in a completely different style, with a garment of salvation and a robe of righteousness, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And we begin to see God imparting to us spiritual grace and spiritual beauty. There's another beautiful passage about the mirror that I want to read to you in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. You see, there's an ongoing process of transformation. All the time that we are looking there into the mirror of God's Word and we're open to the Holy Spirit is transforming us into the likeness of what we're looking at. And so the more we gaze into this mirror and the more we behold the glory of the Lord revealed in this mirror, the more we are transformed by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit operates when we, in faith, look at the Word of God and allow it to reveal to us what God wants us to be and what we can become in Christ. And then we are continually being transformed from glory to glory. The Spirit of God is moving and working upon our hearts and in our lives, making us into the likeness of what we have seen in the mirror of the Word.
I love the idea that as I look at God's Word, I see who I really am and I find the power to become it. There's more of this great teaching as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
Does it ever seem as though you're walking through a minefield of problems? Relationships, finances, work, health. How can ordinary believers bring God's awesome power to bear in every area of their lives? Find out when you listen to the practical and helpful CD by Derek Prince, His Power in Your Hands. With it, you'll discover how proper stewardship of God's power enables you to turn the tables on your circumstances and become the victor instead of the victim. We want you to have a copy of this special CD, His Power in Your Hands, free and postage paid. Simply give us a call at 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. God has given you the very same authority and power He gave Jesus. His power truly is in your hands. The call and this special CD are both free. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. You remember that great line from the movie The Matrix? Why do my eyes hurt? And the answer is, because I've never used them before. You know what? Derek Prince is showing us how the Word of God helps us use our eyes in a way we've never used them before. Let's listen.
Judgment is something that some people don't like to think about. But the fact of the matter is that judgment is a part of God's total dealings with the human race. Furthermore, in the last resort, the final judge is God Himself. This is clearly presented throughout the whole Bible. God is presented as the final judge of the whole human race. Someday, we're all going to answer to God. It's foolish and unrealistic to try to run away from the truth that we are going to be judged. And God Himself is the ultimate judge. We better face up to this fact and act accordingly. Now, the Scripture reveals that there is a divine order of judgment. In other words, God has His plan for how judgment is going to take place. Stated very simply, it's like this. When it comes to administering judgment, God the Father delegates the Son, Jesus Christ. But the Son, in turn, delegates the Word. So God the Father is the judge, but He has made Jesus, the Son, the judge, and in turn, Jesus has made the Word the judge. Let's look at how this is presented in Scripture. First of all, let's look at what the Scripture says about God the Father as the judge. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17, and bear in mind that these words are addressed to Christians, Peter says, "If you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each man's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay upon earth. Walk very softly. Walk in the fear of God. Do not be proud or rebellious or presumptuous." So that's what the Scripture says about God the Father as judge. But now let us see how the Father has delegated the judgment to the Son. We'll turn to John chapter 5 and read some verses there. First of all, verses 22 and 23. Jesus is speaking, and He says this, "For not even the Father judges anyone, but He has given all judgment to the Son, in order that all may honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent Him." So we see that God the Father has committed all judgment to the Son, Jesus Christ. And then further on in John chapter 5, verses 26 and 27, Jesus goes on with the same theme and He says, "For just as the Father has life in Himself, even so He gave to the Son also to have life in Himself, and He gave Him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. God the Father gave to Jesus the Son authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. In that passage there in John chapter 5, Jesus gives us two reasons why God the Father has appointed Jesus Christ the Son to be the judge. The first is that all should honor the Son as they honor the Father. And Jesus says very specifically, if we do not honor the Son, we are not honoring the Father. One thing is very clear, that in any human court of law, the most honorable person present is always the judge. The whole court revolves around him, and everything is so arranged that he's treated with great respect and has great authority. And so we have to relate on that basis, in that way, to Jesus as the Son. We have to honor him because God has made him the judge. The second reason is that Jesus is the Son of Man, not only the Son of God, but also the Son of Man. Not only does he have divine nature, but he has human nature. And as the Son of Man, he understands us. He understands our weaknesses, our frailties, and our temptations. And so he's a just and a merciful judge because he shares our nature. So God the Father has delegated judgment to the Son. But now we need to understand that in turn the Son has delegated his authority as judge to the Word. Jesus explains this in John chapter 12, verses 47 and 48. He says this, "And if anyone hears my sayings and does not keep them, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world." You see, that's the very essence of the divine nature, to be merciful and compassionate, and yet judgment is essential. However, the Father delegates judgment to the Son. The Son says, well, I didn't come to judge the world, but to save the world. So he, in turn, delegates judgment to the Word.
Man, I see some good news in what Derek has been teaching. If the Word judges us, we don't have to be judged by others or by God. Thank the Lord. More of this as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
Impossible.
Impossible. Impossible.
Does that word echo back at you when you shout at your situation? The Bible says all things are possible to him who believes. Few have known the breadth and depth of faith like Derek Prince. Much more than a vague concept, faith was the clear, demonstrable way in which he lived every day of his life. And now, in an easy-to-read book based solely on the Scriptures, Derek shares how we too can strengthen our faith and overcome any seemingly impossible situation that comes our way. Faith to Live By is a practical book that will help you discover that those things which may seem impossible are very possible. Order your copy of Faith to Live By for only $8.95 when you call toll-free 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Discover how faith really works and achieve the impossible. Call 800-448-3261 or visit us online at derekprince.org.
We're back with Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. This whole series, everything we've been hearing about what God's Word will do for you, comes down to these last moments of teaching in this next segment. If you've missed any of it, go on derekprince.org, but let's get to it. It's powerful stuff. Listen as Derek teaches us about the Word of God, our mirror and our judge.
And so he says, I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. Then he goes on, he who rejects me and does not receive my saying has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day. So ultimately, the judge that we will have to face is not the Father, not the Son, but the Word. The Word is our judge. I explained that the Word is our mirror. It shows us what we really look like inside. But it's also our judge. We have to answer to the Word of God. It's going to be the standard of judgment. Everything in it will determine our destiny. So we need to be careful of our attitude to the Word of God. We've got to treat it with the honor that's due to a judge. Perhaps that helps us to understand what God says in Isaiah chapter 66, verse 2. He says, "But to this one, to this man will I look, to him who is humble and contrite of spirit, and who trembles at my word." Why should we tremble at God's word? Because it's our judge. Because it determines our destiny. And then in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 31, Paul gives this a very practical application. He's speaking about people who've incurred God's judgment by partaking unworthily of the Lord's communion, the Lord's supper. And he says that we do not need to suffer that kind of judgment upon ourselves. And he says, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. In other words, we can escape God's judgment if we will judge ourselves. We look at the Word of God. We see what it requires. We meet its requirements. And then the Bible speaks about the answer of a good conscience, which is required of us as we profess our faith in Christ through baptism. How can we have the answer of a good conscience? Not because we have not been sinners, not because we didn't deserve God's judgment, but because we've looked in His Word and seen what is His provision of mercy and forgiveness, and we've claimed it in faith. And then we've seen the requirements in the Word of God for how we should live as Christians. We've applied those requirements and standards to our lives. And as a result, we no longer need to fear the judgment of God. We've judged ourselves by the Word. We do not have to face God's judgment on our lives.
You know, Derek's teaching makes me think about a theme in literature or in movies that we often encounter. You know, somebody is a servant somewhere, or they're living out in the woods or on a farm or on a ranch, or they're living a fairly average life, and then one day an event happens that tells them who they really are. They really are a prince, or they really are the heir of a great fortune, or they really are royal and they never knew it. And I think the reason that we love those themes in literature and in film is that secretly in our hearts, we know that we're made for more. We know we're made for something more than we're living, and we yearn to discover the greatness within, the calling, the destiny, the definition of our lives that's greater than what we've been living. I think that's what Derek has been showing us all week in the Word of God, that the Word of God defines our lives in a greater way than we've been living. We aren't made just to be menial. In fact, Paul said we're not even made to be mere men. We're made to be something magnificent. And as we look at the Word, we not only see the mirror image of who we're supposed to be, we have the power, the truth, even the carving activity of the Holy Spirit available to us to make us what we're made to be. You know, Michelangelo was asked one time how it was that he carved this beautiful angel that he had carved out of marble. He said, "I saw the raw marble, and I could envision an angel, and I carved until the angel was set free." That's what God's Word wants to do, is set the angel free in you. If you've missed any of this important series, go to the website. We've got it there online, and you'll also find out about our free resource for you. It's called His Power in Your Hands, a teaching CD by Derek Prince that's available to you free. Listen, our time is up. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Fantastic to have you with us. Join us again on Monday for another powerful series as the legacy continues.
Take a moment now to order your copy of Derek's book, Faith to Live By, for only $8.95. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. And be sure to ask for your free copy of Derek's insightful CD, His Power in Your Hands. It's our special gift to you for joining us today. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And of course, you can order securely online, anytime, at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org. That's derekprince.org.